Good morning, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm not preaching on that, but happy St. Patrick's Day. A while back, I was walking through Publix, and I happened to have my collar on at the time, and a young couple walked by me, and the young man asked if I was a pope. I could have had a lot of fun with that question, but being a bit startled and being asked that, I said, a pope. And then the young lady with him piped in and says, no, he's a priest. And I said, that's right. And they were in a hurry and they started walking off, and I heard the gentleman say to the young lady, then what is a pope? My point in sharing that is this. It's easy to be recognized who you are when you wear something that gives it away. But many times we might be tempted to hold back who we are in Christ. For the most part, it may be fear that holds us back. Fear affects all of us at some time or another, or at least it tries to. If you did a little research on the internet, you'll find that there's all kinds of polls out there on people's fears, and basically in the top nine, they're all basically the same in different categories, and those fears are commitment, clowns, flying, failure, death, closed spaces or claustrophobic, dark, bugs and snakes and animals, but one category of spiders stands out, heights, but the number one fear on everybody's list is public speaking. See you later. No. If you look at some of these fears, particular failure, rejection, intimacy, and to a degree, death, these fears can also affect our walk with the Lord or in something that he wants us to do. Sometimes that fear manifests itself in not wanting to be seen as someone different, when in fact, what you can experience in Christ can be the biggest joy that you have ever experienced. And in fact, what you were created to be in the Lord. So consequently, many may feel hesitant in stepping out when it comes to our faith and we're called to do something. We become trapped in fear of who we are in Christ. But that is not how it is meant to be. Yes, we do face opposition at times. And yes, we should never be hostile about who we are in Christ. But neither should we let the culture we live in keep us from proclaiming who we are in Christ. Today's readings are full of assurances that we have in Christ as we hear the words from Paul, stand firm. Now, how do we do that? How do we stand firm in a world that is shaking around us? Well, one place we can look is in our psalm that we heard today. David was a man who sought God a lot. He was often in trouble, either by his stand that he made for the Lord, bringing him into opposition with those around him, like we heard in the psalm, or he is on it because of his own sin that created some serious issues in his life and with God. But despite all of that, David pressed on and he pressed in. He knew something. His eyes were fixed on God. The very first words of this psalm that David wrote is this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27 is what we call a lamenting psalm. That is, David is crying out to the Lord his God. David is making something known that is extremely important. In everything he does, it's about God. David is shoring himself up with the promises of God. He is acknowledging that no matter what happens to him, his place is with the Father. Nothing will take away the assurances that he has in knowing who God is. No enemy, not even an army, is going to sway him. He will not fear anything. When it comes to our faith, we too can be surrounded by all kinds of fears in the world that we live in. We may fear being laughed at. We may fear being ridiculed. We may fear being rejected. However, when we face those fears, we, like David, can rest in the assurance that God is with us. But more than that, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us. He is our salvation. He is our stronghold, a secure place that cannot be shaken. That is what the Lord is to us. And we can walk in that assurance. Look at our gospel reading for today. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and he is teaching as they are walking along, as he usually does. And the Pharisees know that if he gets to Jerusalem, that the people are going to get excited. They want to hear him. So they've seen that in other places. So they set up this roadblock of sorts. They want to, quote unquote, help Jesus. It's been said, beware of enemies when they begin to offer advice. They wanted Jesus to just go away. They wanted to suppress the good news because they also knew that they could not stand up to what Jesus has been doing and what he has been teaching. But Jesus looks right into their hearts and he calls their bluff. He's telling them, if Herod did send you, you tell him, and he calls him a fox, I have a mission to fulfill. I'm doing it today, I'm doing it tomorrow, and I'll do it the next day. I'm not going anywhere. He knew he had the Father's protection, and there was a right time for him to do what needed to be done. Now, here's the great news. We have the same assurance. God wants us to get people ready for the kingdom, just like Jesus was getting people ready. We too have a mission in the world. We need to be ready at times to be a witness, to take a stand for our faith. We do that by growing and stepping out in our faith, not hiding who we are in him. I'm not saying we stand on the street corner with a bullhorn yelling out, I'm a Christian. What I am saying is that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us on this journey that he has for us. Jesus had the confidence of who he is while carrying out the ministry on earth. Likewise, we have the confidence in who we are in Christ. But that confidence comes out of an intense willingness to get closer to God. As we continue in Psalm 27, we see that David is seeking God for ultimate assurance that we have in our faith. There's just one thing that he seeks, that he might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There he will seek shelter. There he will be protected. There his head will be held up. This is the goal of all of us, to spend eternity with the Father. This is the promise and the hope that we have in Christ. This is why Jesus came, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly right now, but to also have it to its fullest in eternity. David continues with more verses of seeking God's blessing, and here I see what is at the heart of the psalm and David's lament in verse 8. You have said, he said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. When you really know someone, you know them because you have looked at them right in the face, eye to eye. If you've been married for any length of time, you come to know that person. It is more than an introduction. You may know when they hurt, when they are happy. You know when you have messed up with that person. There is no hiding you or who you are. This invitation by God is an invitation to get to know him in such a way. And out of this intimacy with God, David pleads with him, don't hide from me. Don't be angry. Don't cast me off. You are the one I seek above all others. David is going right after the heart of God. He is referred by God as a man after his own heart. Despite all his mistakes and brokenness, he knows that his only redemption is in the Lord. And he accomplishes that by trying to get right in the face of God, knowing the promises God has given him. To seek God's face is the ultimate closeness we can think of in getting into the very presence of who he is. Listen to this. How much more of an opportunity do you think we have as David did? You might say, well, David was a king. You have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. Grab hold of that thought. If you know Jesus Christ and we accept him into our lives, into our hearts, if we have allowed the Holy Spirit to fill us with his presence, we are stepping right into the face of God, into his presence. Because it is through the releasing of the Holy Spirit that allows us to enter into the very throne room of God and seek him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We hear this verse quite a bit, Philippians 4:13. It reminds us, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. These things are the things that he wants us to do. But to know what he wants us to do requires us to do something. We really need to trust God at his word. Yes, to read his word, to pray, but we really need to press in and get close to him. We need to take God's word seriously and apply it to our lives. David trusted God. He wanted all he could get of him in his life. If you are reading Purpose-Driven Life, this week we read about God being our best friend and developing that kind of a relationship with him. We need to be that close with him. We don't need to be afraid of God moving in our lives because we know he is there with us. He wants us to use us. He wants us to be his hands and feet while we are carrying out his purpose in our call. David closes this psalm as he opened it, acknowledging the confidence that he has in the Lord. He said, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Did you hear that? It means right here, right now, among the living. Wait for the Lord. He has something for you. If you are reading Seek God for the City prayer guide through this past week, yesterday there was a quote from Ezekiel. The point of the scripture is that there is a life, there is life where the river flows. We touched on that when we read Jeremiah a few weeks ago, how our roots are planted into the river of life. That is, God is our source. Now think about this. We are all part of God's creation. When we are connected to the very source of life, that is God through Jesus Christ, and we are filled with his presence, we have so much available to us, his very presence available to us. And as that river of his love flows through us, as that river nourishes us, so will it nourish others as well. David had confidence that no matter what was before him, he would survive it, because he knew it was all about God and his purpose. The Lord's timing is perfect, even though we get impatient. My prayer is that we would have the same confidence in the Lord, knowing he is with us, knowing that he wants to use us. And with that confidence, let us seek after him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Stand firm in your faith. Allow him to work in and through you every single day and see what happens in your life. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you want us to know you so intimately, to be right there with you as you guide us through your life, and that you do have a purpose for us, Lord God, not only here, but way into eternity. So, Father, I ask that you would continue to strengthen us, continue to guide us, continue to empower us with your presence, Lord God, that we may know you more and more each day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.